Forest City Church. Anyone and everyone.
So here's a question I have for you. You ever walked into a space and knew that you were not welcome? Anybody ever walked into a space and no matter what they said, no matter what was on the wall, you knew you weren't welcome? Now, it was probably about 6 years ago, maybe seven. Chrissy and I were went out to dinner. We had gone on this trip. We happened to be in New York City, fancy New York City. So I scheduled this really nice dinner for Chrissy and I to go out to. And we go to this restaurant I'd never been to before in my life. And we go up the elevator, and we walk in, and I see a big group of people around the corner. So I'm thinking, well, that's the dining room. And we walk into that space, and it's like a buffet, and it looks pretty amazing. So I just go up to the line, and I start serving up my food. And, you know, Chrissy's getting her food, and then I'm looking for a high-top table. We go over to the table, and we start to eat. And a fellow walks up to me, and he says, so... How do you know the guest of honor? And I was like, what do you mean, pray tell? He said, well, you know, like, how do you know Chris Paul, the basketball player? I was like, yeah, I don't know him. He goes, oh, well, this is a party for him. I was like, oh, I'm in the wrong room. And all of a sudden, it became pretty clear I didn't belong in that space. These were fancy people, right, who knew people. And I knew no one, and I couldn't wait to get out of that space, right? You ever been in one of those moments when you know you don't belong here, you need to get out of here, but how are you going to get out of here? And plus, the food was so good. Look, here's the reality of this series that we're in called Open House. If all that we do with this is put words on a wall, then it will ring empty. Because the truth is, radical hospitality isn't something that you do or something that you say, it's something that you do. If all we do is say, oh, we're going to create a space where anybody can walk in, but we don't actually live that way, we'll create spaces where people know they're not welcome. And that's the goal of this series, is like, how do we embody like an open house? And there's a passage I want to dive into, because I actually think that at the heart of this passage helps us understand a key element of creating an open house, of things we can do and things we should not do. It's found in John chapter 8, and if you grew up in church, you probably know this story, but I want to read the text to you this morning, and then I want to make just a few comments about this as it relates to building a house that's truly open. It's found in John chapter 8. It starts in verse 1. It says, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and at dawn he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach him. So Jesus is doing what Jesus does. He's teaching, and people are gathering in this very public space. It says, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. Now remember, he's teaching in a very public place. They bring this woman who's caught in adultery. They made her stand before this entire group. And then they said to Jesus, teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. They say, teacher, this woman, she sinned. She's doing wrong stuff, teacher. And then they say, and the law of Moses commands us to stone such a woman. Now, what would you say, Jesus? Now, they were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. Jesus is in this public space, and he's teaching, and these religious people come in with a woman who'd done wrong. And they said, Jesus, according to our rules, the rules that you say are important to you, we should stone her right now. Now, I don't know if you know much about stoning, because it's not something that really we do. We probably don't have much exposure to what that looks like. So let me give you a little background on what this looks like. Now, this is just a garden paver. The stones that would have been used in stoning would have been much different than this. And while the Bible doesn't tell us a ton about what it looks like, you can go back to ancient documents, to the Mishnah, and you can hear, and it is described how this worked. There are stonings that could take as little as 20 minutes, as long as 2 hours. It was a brutal way to die. A suffering that is unimaginable. And it is true that these people who come to Jesus were referencing what the Old Testament would have said, that adultery and some other things, there are a few things in Scripture that said, if you do these things, you could be subject to this rock of judgment. But here's the thing. It's interesting because so often we read the Scriptures and we think, oh, wow, this must be how it works. Like, they can just grab somebody, bring them to Jesus, grab some rocks and kill that person. But actually, none of that's true. Well, let me give you just a little background on how it would actually work, because it's sort of important. It helps you understand what's actually going on in this moment. First, when it comes to stoning someone, it wasn't legal to do what they did at all. In fact, in the time of Jesus, capital cases would be heard by a formal court consisting of no less than 23 people, right? And so there was no indication that this woman had gone through that process. Secondly, Roman law didn't allow this to happen. Now, certainly, there were things that the Jewish courts could rule on, but when it came to the ultimate, killing someone, they didn't have the authority to do it. So this group is just sort of a mob of people, religious people that got together and said, I don't like what that gal's doing. You know what we should do? Let's grab some rocks. We'll drag her up to Jesus. Well, here's the second thing you ought to know about stoning. Stoning was actually really rare. Death sentences by Jewish courts were apparently so rare that it's hard to find evidence that they were carried out centuries before or after this moment. This whole thing isn't how it's supposed to go. And then you add to it that it was all done in public, right? In public. It was like these people knew what they were up to. They didn't have legal authority to kill this gal. In fact, it was illegal. This isn't something that happened very often. And yet, in a crowd of people that Jesus is teaching no less, they dragged this woman up. Why? Why? If you can't kill her, you're not going to hit her with the rock. Why are you asking Jesus this question? Simple. They wanted to make a statement of judgment. Not justice, judgment. They wanted to do this in public. You notice they only brought the lady. By the way, takes two to tango, folks. They bring the lady up. She's all by herself in a public place. They grill Jesus. This has nothing to do with justice. This has everything to do with judgment. And it got me thinking about the reality of the human condition, because oftentimes we read these stories and we go, what a bunch of awful people. I mean, reality is they probably hadn't liked this gal for a long time, and they didn't like the way that she was living. And so somebody somewhere in a house group decided, you know what we're going to do? One day, we're going to grab her, and we're going to drag her up to Jesus. We're going to grab some stones. We're going to scare her to death. And then we're going to ask Jesus, is he with us or is he with her? We need to know who this prophet is. Who is this guy walking around? Is he going to stand for something or stand for nothing? And so they drag her up, and this is what they do. But here's the reality. For every person in this story that we look at and go, gosh, how could they? The truth is, inside of us, we have one of those stone carriers too. Every single one of us. In fact, I bet if you're honest with yourself, you can be someone just like me who actually pick up these rocks of judgment a little too quickly. Anybody? Anybody like walking through line at the grocery store and you see somebody in line do something that you don't like, right? Their behavior that bothers you. Maybe they nudged you, budged you in line. Maybe it's the lady behind the counter. She says something and immediately we're like, well, unbelievable. We see this abhorrent or stupid or ridiculous behavior and quickly we go, well, they must be abhorrent, stupid, or ridiculous. That's what we think. We see their behavior. I mean, guys, we have this device in our pockets that we can pull out and see people's bad behavior all day long. Some of you watch way too much of it. And you see them acting out in this moment, and we think, my goodness, that person deserves a stone of judgment. What an idiot. What is wrong with those people? We see something that somebody writes online and it rubs us the wrong way and we grab a stone, a rock of judgment. I mean, the reality is the human condition is we've been doing this for a long time. We are real quick to grab rocks of judgment when we see people who do things we don't like. You know, Jesus says something about this. In fact, not only in John chapter 8 does he live it out, but here's what he says in Matthew chapter 7. He says, listen, folks, stop judging others and you will not be judged. For others are going to treat you as you treat them. Whatever measure you use in judging others, it will be used to measure you. I mean, in no uncertain terms, Jesus says, stop it. Quit being so quick. In fact, he uses a different paradigm, which would have been a paradigm that would have been common in Jesus' day. He says, instead of always picking up these stones of judgment so quickly, learn to judge favorably. In fact, in the Mishnah, which would have been text that Jesus would have referred to, like judging favorably was considered as important as visiting the sick or devotion to prayer. You know, inside of me, every single day, I have a set of scales. I do. And you do too. And every interaction that we have with other human beings, we are making decisions about if we're going to tilt those scales in that person's favor or maybe in how I'm feeling about them's favor. Every day, in every situation, all the time. And it's interesting because left to my own, I tip the scale in my favor. Now, here's reality. The reason why I know all of you do that too is because there's a ton of research science on it. Reason why we don't like to pass benefit of the doubt on to someone that we see behaving in ways that we don't like is because we have this thing, it's called a self-serving bias. You have it, and I have it. They did this research project, I've mentioned it before, but I think it's so funny. They ask high school students one single question, a survey to prove out self-serving bias. They ask him, are you, high school student, there are thousands of them that participated, are you above average or a below average student? Take a guess as to how many high school students rank themselves as below average. 0%. Now, folks, I know some high school students. That's impossible. And I know we go, oh, well, that's because they're children and they don't know any better. They ask a bunch of adults, are you above average or below average drivers? You adults answered the same way. We all do it. We all take those scales and tip them in our favor. My good friend, Mr. Chad Brugman, who was here with us last week, he said it this way. He said, you know what we do is we desire mercy for me, but I want justice for you. We are quick to pick up that rock of judgment. quick to judge when we see things that don't align with stuff we believe. And you know, it's interesting because not only are we quick to pick this stone of judgment up, we're just as likely to hold tight to it once we have it. Well, think about it. There are things that you believe that you grab onto about other people because of an experience you've had, and you hold on to that truth. Even if the person across from you has nothing to do with what you experienced back then, you hold on to this truth because you believe it. We squeeze on to these rocks of judgment. We hold on to these things, this idea, this cause, this group, our teams, right? And you're going to see it on full display, this devotion to this idea in September. Because a bunch of you who are Bears fans who've been holding on to this idea. But we do it with all of our teams and all of our politics and all these things that we believe. We grab onto them. We pick them up quick, and then we hold on to them tight, don't we? And you know why we do this? Is because too often, these rocks of judgment, they actually become a part of our identity. We grab these ideas. We look at that woman, and that woman, she is an adulteress. She is not good. She is bad. And I stand for something. I stand for something. So I gotta knock her in the head with this rock, right? I gotta do something. I can't be wrong about her. If I'm wrong about her, maybe I'm wrong about everything. That's a slippery slope, Eric. If we don't take care of business with her, it's a slippery slope. Then everybody's going to be prostitutes, right? Isn't that how that goes in our mind? And it's interesting because there's social science around this too. This judgment that we grab so hard and tight to, social psychologist Dr. Peter Fetterman puts it this way. He says, we are highly motivated to reduce uncertainty. Oftentimes, the most common way that people get rid of uncertainty is by rejecting new information, right? Like, oh, no. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. Folks, it all depends on the dog. It all depends on that dog. But once we've seen it, we grab onto it, this rock of judgment. It's interesting because when you look at this story, this is a story that could be applied right now to our life in this day. Because the real question is, how many of us have picked up stones of judgment, carried these around, held tight to them? And in this moment, what did Jesus tell these people to do? Well, let me read it to you. As people dragged this woman up in front of people to embarrass her, to put Jesus into a trap. They have stones in their hand and they are ready to pounce. And they say, what are you going to do, Jesus? Scripture tells us that Jesus bends down and he writes with his finger in the ground. Now, we don't know what he's writing. We can only guess. But when they kept on questioning and pushing, he straightened up and he said to them, let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw the stone at her. He says, go ahead. You perfect? Go ahead. You want to condemn her? Go ahead. If you're perfect. When he heard it, they went away. It says, one by one, beginning with the elders. Now listen, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus straightens up and he says to her, woman, where are they now? Has no one here to condemn you? She said, no, sir. And Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. go your way. And from now on, don't sin anymore. You see, Jesus lives out the reality of the choice that we have every single day in most every relationship we have. When we encounter someone that deserves a rock of judgment, we have a choice to either pick it up or to drop it. We have a choice as a culture to pick up rocks of judgment and carry them around with us and hold tight to them, or we can learn to drop them. You say, well, how do we do that? Because here's what I'm coming to understand. If we're going to have a house that's open, we have to be a place that knows how to drop rocks better than we do pick them up. How do you do it? Well, I can tell you I've learned a couple ways to be a rock dropper. Be a rock dropper. Number one, a little bit of experience. I am that old dog I spoke of earlier. You know, when I was 20, I thought I knew so much about. And those of you that are 20, man, I wish I had your hairline. But honestly, the older I get, the more I begin to realize and learn that everything I thought I knew about this situation, I may not know. I may not know what's going down with that person at Schnucks in the line. I may not know what's going down with that driver. I learned this morning that a woman that I worked with for years in Colorado lost her 23-year-old son to a rare form of cancer. He died last night. And I thought, well, yeah, of course, when she goes to the grocery store today, she's going to be a mess. And maybe everything she does today is not a reflection of her character, but a deep reflection of the fact that she lost her baby today. And how would you know that if you don't know her? Well, you wouldn't. And it's easy to see people act out and go, you know what? You deserve a rock of judgment. But as I've gotten older, I've begun to realize maybe they don't at all. Amen. The other thing I'm learning is that Jesus teaches us how to do this. Like, this is what Jesus did, and this is what he said. In Matthew chapter 7, he says, stop. Stop it. Stop judging. He doesn't give a caveat. Do you notice that? In fact, look what he does with this woman. Who's the one person in the world that could condemn her for her sin? Jesus. He calls it out. He goes, I don't care. Where are all these people with their rocks now? And I don't condemn you either. Let's go. You know, we forget that so many of the people that we judge, when you really have conversation, you realize that they don't like themselves as much as you don't like them. They feel like life's given up on them and they don't have a shot. You look what Jesus says. Jesus says, look, I know what you've been up to. I don't condemn you. You got another chance. Go do better. Go do better. I mean, could you imagine a place that just consistently says, look, go do better. And then what I've really learned that if none of this sticks for me when it comes to the rock of judgment, I've remembered this, that you know this rock that they carried that was meant for that woman, do you know who it actually is meant for? Me. Every rock I carry ready to throw for the judgment of somebody else's sin, do you know who that rock is really meant for? Me. I am a sinner saved by grace. There is nothing that I did to accomplish that. It is a gift, and the stone of judgment, I deserve it just like that woman. The stone of judgment, I deserve it just like her. And when I start living that reality, I start realizing what Jesus was saying in Matthew chapter 7 when he says, stop judging, because the judgment you give is the judgment you receive. And you know what I would like? A little bit of mercy. I want some mercy too. Jesus says, then give it. Put your rock down. Put your rock down. You don't understand what you carry. It will be your own undoing. I think when we learn to put rocks down as a community and we become really good at it, it changes. So you can't just say, hey, we're an open house, come on in, but carry around a bunch of rocks. Because I can tell you, it's just like me walking into a space I know I don't belong in. If we say we're one thing, but we carry rocks ready to pelt people, nobody's going to come around. They're not stupid. Nobody wants to get hit in the face with a paving brick. But if we live it, and we live it out of a true place of understanding, I deserve that rock, you won't be able to keep people away. A safe place where they can find Jesus and his grace. They can experience a second chance, and then they can be dispensers of that mercy in a world that needs that mercy. Forest City, I'm just begging you. Think of three people right now. Three people that you wished you could hit right upside the head with one of these. I want you to think about those people who frustrate you, irritate you, who deserve judgment. I want you to think about them. Then I want to ask yourself, if Jesus was here right now with those three people, what would he do? For real. That person that just drives you crazy. That person that you think deserves it. That person, if Jesus was with them in a room, wouldn't he say, where are your condemners? I don't see them. I've sent them away. And I don't condemn you either. I know what you think. It's like, yeah, but they keep doing the same dumb thing. So do you. How do I know that? Because so do I. A place that dispenses Jesus' grace in the same free-flowing way that he did. Wow. That's an open house. That's what we're trying to create. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray for my friends that in ways that we can't hardly understand, that you will loosen our grip on these rocks of judgment for our community's sake, but for our sake, that we put them down, we learn to drop them and receive this reality. That all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. And that if it weren't for your death and resurrection, all of us would be headed to the same fate no matter how good we are. We are sinners in need of a Savior. And may that truth be embedded so deep in us that we become absolutely known for not the rocks we pick up, but for all the rocks we are willing to drop. I pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen.